One of our focuses in Celebrate Recovery is to create a safe space and an inviting space for anyone dealing with any kind of hurt, hang-up, or habit or broken relationship. And we're learning and trying to break the stigma of how that interacts with mental health, because mental health is a big part of this process and healing. And how do we create a space for people struggling with mental health struggles? And today we're gonna unpack that through a life change story with one of our dear sisters, Linda. She walks us through her own battles with mental health and what recovery looks like, and maybe get into some conversation of what that looks like to come alongside somebody struggling with mental health in a safe and productive, effective way. Today we're talking about mental health. Welcome to Hope and Recovery, a Fellowship Celebrate Recovery podcast that shares hope and healing for our mental, spiritual, emotional, and relational journey through life change stories and recovery topics, all centered around the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 and the Celebrate Recovery principles, where Jesus gives us a great roadmap in facing life struggles to walk in blessedness or healing, happiness, in spite of our circumstances, so that we can face those hurts and nasty core beliefs and even some of those numbing agents or defenses or protections that ultimately drive and create a disconnection with God and other people in our life, so that we can walk in that newness of life and find purpose in our pain, a calling as we walk in freedom. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I struggle with drugs and alcohol and perfectionism. My name is Rodney. I'm the pastor and Celebrate Recovery leader at Fellowship Bible Church Celebrate Recovery in Rogers. And so good to be back with you. Just want to keep encouraging you as we're hearing some great feedback. If you've got some topics that you'd love for us to talk and unpack and talk about, please send those our way. You can find my email at fellowshipcr.org give us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you. Wherever you listen, there's usually a way to give a rating, a review. If you like what you're hearing, we'd love to hear see a post from you, a review, and a high rating. This helps us get more traction to reach more people, and we love those that have already done that. Thank you for your feedback on that. But as I mentioned in the intro, I'm excited about today's topic. We've been trying to do a series on some different podcasts around mental health, and we've talked about anxiety, and we've talked about depression, and gave real practical and then put some skin on that with some life change stories. And I'm excited for our sister. It takes a lot of courage to come share a little bit of our story. And I'm always just so grateful for people that come in to do this. And Linda, one of our sisters in Christ, has agreed to come on to today's podcast to talk about her own battles with mental health. So Linda, welcome. So glad to have you here.
Thank you, Rodney.
Yeah. I'm excited too. Introduce yourself the way you do in CR and we'll jump into a conversation.
I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I struggle with anxiety and depression. Fear of loss right now is going on. And I have some food issues going on too.
Yeah.
And my name's Linda.
Hey, Linda. So grateful for you. And I don't know how long we've known each other now, but it feels like we've known each other our whole life. You're part of our ministry, our forever families, we say. So, hey, Linda, so as we're unpacking the kind of going through some conversations around mental health, you and I connected and just kind of connecting with your story. Bring us into a little of your story. What kind of give us, and there's never enough time to unpack our full story. When did you begin to realize that there was some struggles there with depression and anxiety in your life?
I went to a doctor in 1996.
96.
When I was diagnosed with anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
So I've been dealing with this for quite some time.
Yeah. So what were the, what if we're kind of looking at some of those action tendencies, what were the things that were happening around you and in and through you that said, I need to go see a doctor about this? What was happening?
I'd go into a store and I'd be just fine. And the next thing, I'm scared. Mm. I start hyperventilating.
Right in the middle of a store.
Yes. Wow, I wanted to pass out. So I leave my grocery basket, you know, with everything in it, go out to my car, and I would have a panic attack in my car. And it was scary because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know.
Am I dying? Am I having a heart attack?
Yes, I thought I was having a heart attack. Yeah, so many things was going through my head. So I had asked somebody, what's going on?
Yeah.
I told them, you need to see a doctor. So I did. So throughout the years, a lot of reading, a lot of self-talk, and boy, I like to talk in my head a lot.
Yeah. So you're just trying to kind of white knuckle through this. This is something's off. I feel, am I dying? This is a scary, lonely space. And at some point it just became too much.
Yes.
And was that you kind of coming to that realization, or the people around you said, hey, sis, you know, girl, you maybe get some extra help is
necessary. I broke out in the shingles.
Really?
Yes. Over it. Yes.
Wow. And that's painful.
Yes, it was.
So you got this emotional pain. Now you have physical pain.
Yes.
And it's time
going
to get
to
some
the emergency
help.
Room, and they're just looking at you like you're nuts.
Wow.
And it was very overwhelming.
Yeah.
The not knowing.
So don't know what's going on. So you go see the doctor. What's happening, or what are they telling you? What are you supposed to do with that?
Go find a counselor.
Okay.
Go seek out some help.
Yeah. That's wisdom in that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Medication, but I have to have a counselor.
Yeah.
Therapist because of medication.
Yeah.
To be monitored.
Yeah.
And so finding the right counselor, therapist. And so far I've been so lucky with four different counselors that I've had in my 1996.
Yeah, since 96, So, and that's just a good word. I almost want to hit the pause button right there and just say, if anybody is out there and you feel like, or you're hearing recommendations, you know, from family, whatever, or your doctor's telling you the same thing, there can be some shame attached to seeing a therapist, but man, what a courageous thing to do. So I just want to acknowledge that and to say, Linda, thank you for your courage to be willing to listen and follow the direction of your doctors, and then in obedience and courage to lean into those hard spaces with a therapist, that there should be no shame in that. So I just want to acknowledge that. That's an important thing to say out loud. But so you're seeing a therapist, blessed with great therapists, right?
Yes.
At what point, let me back up a little bit. So what does Linda bring to 1996? Can you give us just kind of what's happening in your upbringing, as much as you feel comfortable? Kind of take us into that picture. What takes you to 96 in this kind of this point of, ugh, this is too much? Can you give us a piece of your story in that?
Well, 99, I was also using drugs and alcohol.
Okay. How long have you been using drugs and alcohol in your life to that point?
For a long time.
Were you pretty young when you started?
I was in high school when I started smoking.
Okay. And it was it a kind of a casual thing, or was there some pain, trauma going on in your life?
It was just fitting in.
Okay.
It's being one of the adults, even though I was a minor.
Yeah.
Drinking. Just fitting in.
Yeah.
And then, so then I just, there was trauma. I was molested as a child.
By my brother. Major trauma. Yeah.
I did forgive him.
Yeah.
And my cousin, I did forgive him before he passed away.
Mm.
So I was blessed there.
Yeah.
And this was, I had started Celebrate Recovery 7 years ago.
Wow.
So when I was able to see my cousin, I was in CR.
Mm.
So, and all I did was just told him, I forgive you.
That's a big
moment.
And
that was it.
Yeah.
That was it. And just the pressure, it was just, oh my gosh, it was such a relief.
Yeah.
It was a hallelujah moment.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, I mean, I want to get to that healing process, but jumping ahead before we jump to that space, I just want to acknowledge too, sometimes with mental health struggles, well, I should say with addictions, we find that there is mental health struggles, right? We self-medicate. And yes. And how old were you at 96? I never ask a woman how old they are, but
I will be 56. So okay. Y'all do the math.
Yeah. Okay. So you went through a good part of your life battling mental health struggles and not knowing it.
I had learning disability when I was growing up.
Okay.
And yeah. It was called learning disability. Now it's ADHD.
Wow.
So I also have that as an adult.
Yeah. They couldn't put their finger on what it was. They labeled it as other thing. Oh, you just have learning. Maybe yes, you have behavioral issues. Yes. You you're a rebel kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's just good. It's not to make excuses, but it's to understand that sometimes in the addictions arena, there may be some things happening that we call them dual diagnosis, right? Where we have some anxiety, clinical depression, clinical anxiety kind of thing. And so it makes my heart sad. You're battling this through your pretty much a good part of your life.
1997. Yeah. If you just stop and think about it. They didn't know nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. So mental health. Okay. Yeah. Education. Okay. Maybe there's something else here. Maybe it's not Linda just being a bad person.
Right.
She's just struggling. Right.
Yep.
And so, molestation. Yeah. Huge, huge trauma wound. And I want to get to that point through Celebrate Recovery. You start getting, you've been in Celebrate Recovery 7 years now, but you're seeing a therapist, you're doing medication, struggling well prior to Celebrate Recovery. At what point did you decide, I need Celebrate Recovery?
Okay, so I've been sober for 13 years.
Praise God.
And I wanted to fix people.
I'm going to go learn about this.
Yeah, because I had been sober for so long.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to help somebody.
Yeah.
My story might help somebody.
Yeah. So and I'm going to go to CR to help all those people.
Yeah. I love it.
And you got into CR and learned something a little bit different that maybe I've got some work to do or.
Oh, yes. I've got 6-step studies.
Wow.
And I've did right before, okay, so February 2020 is when I did my life-changing story.
Mm.
And then everything shut down shortly after that.
Yeah, which was just a maddening place
and
for all of us.
And that set off all of my mental health again.
Wow.
Because I was just slowly getting everything not under control.
Yeah.
But learning.
Yeah.
Learning how to calm Linda. Learning how to
some
go
good
into
strategies.
A store.
Yeah.
And be able to focus on what I'm going to get this, and get out.
Mm. So you were developing some good strategies. 2020 hits, things start kind of just falling apart.
Yeah, I mean, even though I had family living with me, but I kind of isolated myself in my room. I did a lot of cooking, did a lot of eating. I think everybody did.
Yeah.
And I learned how to shop online.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to go into stores.
Wow.
And that was hard because I liked, after being in CR, I liked going and meeting people, welcoming people.
Yeah.
You know, their first time walking in the door, hey, how are you? I'm a hugger, you know? And then, after the pandemic lifted, you want to hug, but you can't, so you're fist bumping and this and that. So
well, and just knowing you, Linda, I mean, you're a very personable person. I don't think I remember a time not seeing you and greeting you or being greeted by you and not seeing a smile and just very, very, a lot of joy in your face. So the pandemic took that away, connection. So now you're moving into isolation.
Yeah,
and
I
it
did.
Just kind of spun things out.
And I was in a step study. I mean, I was still in a step study, but so we survived.
Yeah.
There was 6 or 7 of us that survived it.
Oh, praise God.
I know.
So what did you learn in that process? You're going to Open Share, you're going to Step Study. What's some big takeaways that you've learned as it relates to your mental health, right? And I always tell people, you know, if taking medication, you know, please, if you know someone's taking medication, let's not shame people with that. That sometimes we just need extra help, and we would not do that with any other organ in our body, right? My liver needs help. I take medication.
Right.
If my brain needs help, it's okay. It doesn't mean I have no faith. So if you're believing that lie that you're less than or don't have faith if you have to use medication, please hear me clearly. That is not true. But one thing I encourage people is don't substitute the heart work with medication, right?
Right.
And that's, you did that in counseling, but what was it about Celebrate Recovery and being in the community of believers, fellow strugglers, that was a game changer for you? What'd you learn in that?
It's okay not to be okay. Hmm. It's okay to be you.
Yeah.
Because you're not alone.
Hmm.
There's so many other people out there that just are like you, but they don't know how to come out or talk about it or, like you said, shamed.
A lot of shame.
And I could just start crying right now.
Yeah.
But
a lot of passion there in your heart.
It's mental health. It's just, there's just so much. I mean, I try and read people's eyes. I'm an eye person. And so if I see somebody down, you know, I try and lift them up with a smile or just, hey, how you doing? But then I can get into long conversations with people, even in arguments. And one of my downfalls is I will go back later and replay this conversation over and over and over and over and over in my head. Mm. And so I'm in the process right now of stopping that.
Yeah.
with my therapist.
Yeah. You care a lot about the people you come into contact with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
But it's just the conversations. Well, I should have said this or I should. Well.
Yeah.
So it's. I have to be careful what I say.
Yeah.
Because you don't know if that other person has mental health. You might trigger somebody.
Right.
And that's the last thing you want to do.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, it makes sense. So in that circle, you're surrounding yourself with other people. And I love your heart. I've been on the receiving end of your encouragement. It always makes me feel good and better. But so, you know what it's like for someone to show up for you, to see you in your pain and being in that circle of community through Celebrate Recovery. Yes. What's that space like, having battled anxiety and depression and just that feeling of being seen and heard and caught in that space?
It feels good. It's like a big hug from forever family. People who I never even would thought would like me or even talk to me, they share things about themselves with me. And I like that.
Yeah.
And I get to know who they are for who they are and not, well, I wonder how that person really is.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I'm going to take a super quick break here, Linda. Thank you for your sharing. I know you're blessing our listeners, and I can see your heart. I wish people could see your face and just the passion in your heart and through the tears that this means a lot to you personally, and you want other people to experience that as well. So take a quick break right here. When we come back, I'll continue with Linda talking about mental health and how Celebrate Recovery helped her to struggle well and continues to help her struggle well through this mental health battle. Be right back. Hey friends, if you're looking for a space where you can face your own hurts, hangups, and habits, maybe you're battling some mental health struggles, please know you can't face that alone. You're not designed to face that alone. We'd love to have you join us on either campus, Fellowship Fayetteville or Fellowship Rogers, every Friday night, 6 p.m. Connection Cafe, 7 p.m. our main meeting starts. If you'd like more information, go to fellowshipcr.org, and we hope you'll join us this Friday night. We are forever family, and what an honor to join you in this journey. Welcome back. Right before the break, Linda, we were talking about just it feels good to be seen and heard and caught. So you know what it's like. to experience that. And you've been in 7 years, Celebrate Recovery. Can't believe it's gone by that fast, but you now you're serving, you're a part of helping other people. And I can see that passion in your heart. Linda, help me maybe for our listeners that are coming alongside people that are battling mental health that may not have that same struggle themselves. What are some things that are helpful for you and maybe not so helpful as we relate with? And you even said, I have to be careful not to trigger them in that space. What's some things that you've learned that might be helpful for our listeners as we're coming along other people?
I have to look into their eyes. I watch their body language, how they're talking.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, well, like I have many years. I'm not a therapist. Lord knows I'm not. But I get to, there's a word I'm looking for. Excuse me. But I can see something's not right, maybe.
Say, just kind of watching their body
I'm
and
watching their
facial.
Body.
Yeah.
And if I do know this person, well, are you okay?
Yeah.
Let's come over here and talk. Or maybe you don't want to talk. Maybe you just need a hug and be reassured, hey, you're okay.
Yeah.
You're in a safe place.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's all a person wants is a hug.
Yeah.
To be recognized and say, hey, I'm okay.
Well, and that's good. I love that. Kind of assessing, can I hug you right now, right? Just that getting permission, maybe a hug's bad kind of thing. But what we don't want to do, and you know, I'd love for you to speak into this, Linda. If I am, I'm just thinking of like a situation. If I'm manic, but first off, what's manic to you? What does that mean? Just so for our listeners, how would you describe that?
They act like they're on drugs.
Mm.
Their body language, they run their mouth just goes and what they're saying doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
And is trying to talk a person down.
Yeah.
To take a nanosecond and say, hey.
Yeah. Their words per minute go way up and it can be perceived that they're
very
maybe
excitable.
Excitable. Okay. So one of those, just kind of leaning into, maybe you can speak into this, what's a good way to talk someone down and a bad way? Because it feels like sometimes we can try to force someone to calm down. And one of those ways is, hey, you need to calm down.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
How does that land for your heart in a mental health arena?
No. I mean, I can get it.
Yeah.
But I've been, it's not.
Yeah.
To say, hey, do you need to breathe? Let's do a breathing exercise or just try to get their thoughts somewhere else.
Yeah. Kind of redirecting.
Hey, what did you do today? What did you do a week ago?
Yeah.
Make them think and get them out of where they are at mentally right then and there thinking.
Yeah.
And that's hard. That's really hard to get someone out of that thinking right then in that moment.
Yeah.
It really is.
When I love what you're saying about that, because, and again, don't be overwhelmed if you're thinking, gosh, I don't know if I can do this. You're really just trying to be present with them,
yes,
right, to get them back in the room. Because in that manic state, you know, it's kind of that hyper arousal where we're way off the charts, kind of leaving our body.
Scary.
Yeah. If we're kind of exiting and we're way the, you know, we can feel it in our body, we're jittery, our heart rate's gone up, all this stuff is happening. So what we're trying to do is kind of get them to a stable space where they're a little bit more grounded is kind of what I hear you saying.
Yes.
So for your anxiety, if you're way off the charts, we're trying to just get you back somewhere in the middle there, or at least closer to the middle.
For me, I have to say, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay.
So you have some personal strategies
I
for
say,
you.
I say, I'm okay, a lot. Even when, in 2020, when I gave my test, my life-changing story, I was like, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay.
Yeah, because some anxiety standing up in front of people. Yeah,
it was.
Well, I love that.
I loved it.
Yeah. You have some strategies when you start feeling your body kind of go into that anxious, heart rate's picked up, jittery, all that stuff. You've developed some stress. And this is good for those that might be listening that may be struggling with that. It's like,
I have to get out of my mind.
Yeah.
I have to get out of there.
Yeah.
I go to music. Either old, not classical, but older type music.
Yeah.
Or even KLRC.
Yeah. So you've developed kind of what brings me life and what grounds me.
Yes.
So if back to when I'm talking to someone else that may be kind of in that hyper arousal, right? What's some things? So you said you're kind of redirecting them. You're trying to, hey, what'd you do today? Tell me about your day.
Yes.
And what are you trying to accomplish there?
To get them out of their head in the moment.
Yeah.
To get them thinking of, okay, what did I do? To make them think, okay, so where was I a week ago or even 3 days ago?
Yeah.
To get them out of where they are, right, state of mind right now.
Yeah.
Because, and then maybe kind of breathe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I'm
here. Do you want to sit down?
Yeah.
Do you want to go outside? Different environment. You know, if you're in a big crowd of room of people,
yeah,
maybe they need more quietness.
Yep. I'm imagining being on the receiving end of that. And again, for our listeners, I can see your face, the way you're saying it. It's a comforting, inviting face, even your tone of voice, your pacing, right? Hey, tell me about what you did today. Hey, let's breathe. Hey, do you want to sit down? Let's sit down for a second. You're okay. I'm here.
Because you can't say it all in one big breath.
Right. But the pacing of that is you're trying to kind of slowly walk them back. I can't force them back. And that's the big thing that I'm kind of hearing is it's tempting to say, hey, you need to calm down. You know, right? It's like, whoa, that's not going to work right. It's actually going to accelerate.
Yeah, even ask them, you know, what's your favorite song? What's your favorite bird? What about a nursery rhyme if they have children? You know, just kind of get them out of where they are.
Yeah.
And
what have you seen, Linda? Because you sounds like you've done this with few people, right? What do you see in them when you're walking them through this process? Again, and it's not like, let me just rattle off my list of things to do. Maybe it's one thing I'm doing. Hey,
it's up and down.
What do you see in them when it's landing for their heart? What's happening?
Some people it works for, some people it doesn't. But I try to get them to, hey, let's turn off your lights. Put on some, you know, soft music or no music. Go run some water.
Yeah.
Just do something that's abnormal that you don't normally do.
Yeah. Interrupt the process.
Yes. Interrupt what you do daily.
That's so good.
And just get out of your normal.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the normal is, for me, it was messing with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really was. It was really, I had to change it. So every day is different.
Yeah. I love that. And what a great, great thing for all of us to do in general, but especially if you're dealing with mental health, is what's my go-to strategy when I feel anxious, when I feel down, that kind of thing. Have you seen it on the other side, kind of in that hypo-arousal where they're just numb and they're in that place of shame and they're just kind of shutting down? I know you struggle with depression. What's some strategies that, is it the same strategy? Is that, are you doing different things to kind of bring you from that pit?
For me, sleep. Mm. I personally end up sleeping.
Yeah.
But then I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
But I find myself sleeping for my depression. And that's not good at all.
So what's some good strategies, right? That's what we kind of run to. But what's a good, healthy strategy you've learned so that you don't just go sleep for hours?
I get into my phone in my Bible app. Mm. And so I'll do some Bible stuff.
Reading God's word.
Yes, thank you.
Meditating.
And some lessons in there with some other followers of Christ.
So stimulating your brain with something new, different, healthy.
And even if I grew up in religion, which I did, I remember that story. Oh, okay, yeah, I remember this. So it excites me, and it gets me out of that depression. I'll listen to some music, even what my kids used to listen to back in the 90s.
Yeah.
And that's a good stimulation to get me out of my depression. It even gets me up and moving around.
Yeah. I love that.
And it just changes my whole mental situation.
That's so good. So you've given us some real practical things. I love this. And this is from your personal experience, right? Yes. This is very raw and near and dear to your heart, right? So it's great for our listeners. Hey, if you're in that spot, kind of in that low point or high point, hyper versus hypo arousal, here's some strategies to kind of get you grounded. And grounded is a great thing to think about. It's like, do I feel my rear end in the chair right now? You know, what do I smell in the room right now? What do I hear?
Yeah.
Right? It's just trying to get myself back in the room.
Because I'm a candle.
Yeah.
But don't start the house on fire.
But we don't recommend that.
No. But yeah, I mean, there's, like you said, different.
Just interrupting it, trying something new. Get up and move. Go check the mail, right? Yeah. That kind of thing.
If you have a routine, throw something else in there.
I love that. So Linda, somebody's listening right now and you have an opportunity. They're struggling. Maybe they're in a place of high anxiety or they're in a place of kind of just some bad depression. What's some words? Their ear is listening to your voice right now and you have an opportunity to speak into their heart. What would you say to them if they're struggling right now? Or maybe they're being labeled as, you know, their manic state is saying, oh, you're using drugs right now, right?
Yeah.
And just the shame that comes with that. It's like, you just don't understand. I'm not using. I'm just in a manic state and that way off the charts on the high end. What's some encouragement that you would give to them on either side of that spectrum to encourage them?
To seek help.
Hmm.
Come to CR. Because you know what? You're not alone. You can't do this alone.
Yeah.
Mental health, you cannot do it alone. Because it's a scary thing. It really is. Deep down, because you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Nobody really knows what it is.
Yeah.
In my eyes. Because each person's different. God created us all different.
Yeah.
You know, he broke the mold on each of us. He's like.
That's right.
And.
That's so good.
And, you know, just life itself is what kind of screwed me up.
Yeah. And life is hard,
so
messy.
For the person who's listening, just take time, write things down.
Mm.
If you notice something, write it down. Just start, like, keep a little diary, a journal, write things down, get to see your doctor, maybe a therapist.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
whatever it takes, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
A person needs help, and if you can't get help, get help.
Yeah.
Come to CR.
Just tell somebody, right?
Yeah.
I'm struggling.
Go to church.
Yeah.
I mean, and give it to God.
I love that.
God helps in so many different ways that nobody knows.
Yeah.
But he does.
Well, I just want to say I'm proud of you for doing all those things. You have strategies in the moment, but you have a long-term strategy of kind of proactively, you know what to do reactively. We need all those strategies to be able to help us to struggle well with mental health. And I love that you're a part of this Celebrate Recovery community, Linda. I can't imagine you not being a part of it. You're just a part of us. But thank you for sharing with us today. Thank you for some real practical tools and strategies. And I thank God that 7 years ago, he brought you to Celebrate Recovery.
I know, right?
I hope we'll be with each other a lot longer,
yes.
Many more years. So love you, sis, and appreciate your heart.
Love you too, brother.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, and I want you to hear too, folks, that if you are in a place where it's really dark, where it just feels like it's too much, maybe you're struggling with some suicidal ideation. You're thinking about how does this, you know, how do I just exit? I just want you to know that's from the enemy. And you can dial 988 at any point and get someone on a suicide hotline to talk to them. Please reach out. Take advantage of those resources. Sometimes we just need to interrupt it by talking to a professional in the moment. And then we'll build a long-term strategy to where you can not go back to that dark space, because we need you here on this planet. God's not done with you. And no matter what you're struggling with, God's healing path is unique to you. That's how much he loves you. And in his timing, he's going to bring you a path toward healing and grace in your life. So, hey, thanks so much for being with us today. I hope this has blessed you, and I hope you'll join me next time. Until then, God bless.